It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
So he's going to the pig farm and asking, I'm going to join with you. Maybe I want to be immigrant. I want to get a job here. That's why he said, join with them. So became an immigrant and got a job. What kind of job he got? He got a job in the pig farm to feeding the pigs. If you read a little bit further, verse 16, please read.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him.
No man gave unto him. What does it mean? Nobody gave him a penny. Nobody gave him a food. And now he might be asking, begging. He might be going door to door. Can I have a piece of bread? Can you give me a glass of water? Nobody gave, he says. Nobody gave him anything. And then what he decided, okay, I got a job in a pig farm. Maybe his paycheck didn't come yet. He just started maybe a week or so. Nobody giving me anything. And somebody say, you know what? I got a job. And this is the first of the month. End of the month, I'll get the money. So could you give me some money? Nobody gave. And so he's waiting for his paycheck. Meantime, what is he doing? Eating from the pig's pen. Now, what they were feeding the pig, I don't know. Somebody will say they were feeding the peanuts. Somebody will say this, that, whatever they were feeding. He start eating that. When he start eating that, he start fainting. He was not satisfied. Just think that he ate from the pig's pen and he was happy. And he say, wow, the pig get fatter. And I eat this and I'll be fatter, I'll be okay. But he says he start fainting. That food was not good for mankind. And so he fainted, and then something happened. Let's read verse 17.
And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?
Now he said he came to himself. What happened? He was not himself before. That means he rebelled. He got a anger and frustration. He didn't have love for his father. He didn't have love for his brother. He didn't care about his servants. He said, I'm going to get out of here and I want me and my business. And that's what he did. But now he came to himself. What does it mean? He changed his heart. He said, I'm wrong. I did something wrong against God. He didn't say first man. He did something against heaven. When you repent, then you repent to God. People say to people, I'm sorry, I hurt your feeling. That's good. If you say, I'm sorry, I hurt your feeling, you go and somewhere and you hurt somebody's feeling. You keep on doing. What do? You go to God and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I made a mistake. I hurt my father's feeling. I hurt my mother's feeling. I hurt my brother's feeling. And that's why I'm suffering here. I never wrote them a letter. I never made them a phone call. I never said I'm sorry. But I am finding fault in them. He said, I am guilty. My father did everything possible. He didn't beat me. He would have said to servants, beat this boy. I'm not giving him penny. He didn't earn anything yet. But he said, my father gave it to me. My brother was not angry at me. And I came here and I lost everything. Nobody gave me anything. I'm eating in the pig pen. I'm waiting for my paycheck, but I will be dead until then. And he says, why am I perishing here? He says, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? He says, all hired servants I saw them eating, stomach full, and still food is left. Now enough! To whom? Servants! If the servants are fed properly, that means that man was a generous man. He's giving enough to the servants, and they have enough and left over. He says, so I'm going to go to my father. He says, I'm going to die if I don't go. I'm fool to not to go to my father. And I will die with this pig's food, because he was already fainting. Fainting means what? He didn't have strength. He was not able to walk or do anything. And so weak and dying, perishing. Let's read verse 18.
I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Now he says, what I'm going to do? I'm going to rise. I'm going to get out of this pig pen. I'm dying. I'm fainting. This is not the answer. I trade my Jewish religion to this heathen religion to get the pig's job. I'm going back to my home. I'm going to say to my father, I have sinned against you, against heaven. I did everything wrong. First, I went against God. And then I went against you. And I'm a sinner. I'm not even worthy to be called son. Now I took all my portion. I don't have any inheritance. Only I can say to my father, give me a job as one of your servants. And I'll work. I'm not demanding anything. Just give me a place and a job like your servant, and I'll work. I'm not demanding anything. Okay, let's read the verse.
And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
He thought to himself first, I'm going to rise, I'm going to go to my father, I'm going to tell him this. I'm not worthy to be your son. I sin against God, I sin against you. Will you forgive me and give me a job? That's what I'm going to do. Now, that's a good thing. And many people make those decisions, but don't put it in practice. They keep on saying, I'm going to do it. Lord, this time, I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to make a decision. They don't do it. They keep on putting it away. People wanted to make a decision, but the devil doesn't allow them to do it. And so this man, as soon as he got this idea, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go. And he did it. The point I'm making, you can keep on making decisions in your mind for years and years. If you don't put it in a practice, you're not going to get the answer. Somebody says, oh, I'm going to repent. I'm going to call upon Jesus. And I'm going to get into the ministry. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Keep on saying it until you're 99 years old and finally go to the grave thinking that way. Never will work. You know that lady, the issue of blood, how many years she was suffering? 12 years, I'll go and touch the garment of Jesus Christ. She was so weak, she had no strength to go anywhere because she's bleeding for 12 years. What happens? I just think Jesus was just passing by her door or maybe her neighborhood, and she took advantage. I'm going to get up, I'm going to touch his garment, and I'll be whole. And exactly happened. What I'm trying to say, you make a decision, but put it in practice. Otherwise, you keep on saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. You can repeat for 10,000 times, it's not going to come true until you put it in practice. The faith is dead without the action. You can say, I have faith, but you don't put your faith in action, your faith is dead. Let's read verse 21.
And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet.
Now see what happened here. As soon as this man made a decision, and came to his father. Now father is standing top of his house. They have maybe terrace, or maybe he was a rich man, maybe bigger bungalow, standing there. What is he doing? He's looking every day. Maybe today my son might come. Maybe today my son might be come. He might be praying every day. Lord, change my son's heart. Let him repent. Let him come back to me. He might be praying every day. But I don't see his brother praying. Because you see what he did. Some people do not pray for his brother and sister. He said, oh, I don't pray for him. He is not a good brother. I'm not praying for my sister. She is not a good sister. Doesn't work that way. You pray not because they are good. You pray that God should change them. I pray for my all brothers. I'm sorry I don't have sisters. But any sister I see, I call them a sister. When you pray for your brothers and sisters, pray from your heart. Don't pray bad about your brother. If that brother was saying, I hope my brother will be dead, so when I go, all things will be mine. And that brother didn't say the younger brother should be dead, so he won't come and bother me again. But the father was praying and praying and praying that my son should come home. So he was standing at the top of the building, and waiting for his son. This father was not a 90 years old man. This father might be in his 40s. How do you know? Because he sees his son coming. So he has a good eyesight. He's not an old man. Then he runs down. So he is not a crippled man. And then he runs to his son. So he might be in his 40s. 40, 45, under 50. And so he goes and kisses him. And then this boy told all the story, whatever he said in his heart. Did his father answer him anything? No. His father didn't say anything. He just ignored what he was saying. So, but he did not ask him anything. He just wanted his son to be happy and joyful. This was not the time to talk about, son, you came back, but I'm sorry, whatever I gave it to your older brother, I cannot take it any from him. Didn't say anything. He talked to the servant. He did not reply to his son. He talked to his servant. And what did he say? Get the best robe for him, and put a ring on his hand, and give him shoes. He's coming with a pig farm, the dirty clothes. He might have told him, he's not written here, but he might have told him, give him a good shower, clean him, give him a good haircut, and give him a good cloth, and then put the robe, then give him a ring, and then give him a shoes. The ring shows him some kind of authority. That means he says, you're my son, you're not my servant. And now you have shoes? What does it mean, shoes? Now you're going to work in the farm. Up to now, you just ran away. Now shoes, going for a, you know, job. Put on your shoes to do some jobs. So you have a job to do. We love you. Let's read verse 23.
And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.
Now he says, bring. What kind of calf? Fatted calf. They give special food. Some people give the grain, corn, or some people give these cotton seeds and things like that. So they give the best food for some animals. They wanted to kill them to make a feast. So they were saving this fatted cow for some good occasion. And here comes the son. So he said, get that fatted cow and kill it and make a feast. And so let's read what happens. Verse 24.
For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry.
Now he's saying to all the people, why I'm killing my fatted cow? Because this my son was lost. Now he's found. Not only that, he was dead. Now he's alive again. When we are dead, do you know? The word of God says the wages of sin is death. He started committing sin in his heart. He rebelled against father. He rebelled against his brother. So he was spiritually dead before he went there. And so now he repented. He's alive spiritually. And he was lost. Now we found him. That's why we are rejoicing. That's why we are happy. And so this is a very joyous, happy occasion. Let's read verse 25.
Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant.
This elder boy comes. Now it's evening time. He's a tired and weary man. And when he comes, he hears the music and dancing in his own house. He got a little bit hint, but he wanted to find out if it's real. He said, what happened? Why this has happened? He did not call his dad. He called the servant, third party person. I want to know what's happening. Now the servant gives him the meaning. Let's read 27.
And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.
Now if the servant would have said, your brother has come, and that's why we are rejoicing, he won't be that mad. But he said, your father killed the fatted calf. That's made him angry. My father did not give me any little bit goat. Goat might be $10 worth. And now this is thousands of dollars worth fat cow. He killed. He got so mad. That might be the first reason to be angry. And the second reason, he took his half part anyhow. Why is coming to get my part now? So he was very mad. Your brother came back safe and sound. Don't be so angry. Because your fatted cow is dead and dancing is going on, think about a good side. Your brother was lost and he came back safe and sound. But that didn't change his mind. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 28.
And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him.
Now he said, I'm not going in. His father would have said, go back to the farm. Stay there like him. Eat in the pig's pan. Then your mind will change. But father was compassionate. So he comes and is trying to tell him, son, why are you so angry? What happened to you? Don't you think our brother we missed? And these many days we are thinking about him. What's happening to him? We didn't hear anything. No phone call. No letters. Nobody came and tell us anything about our brother, and we were crying and weeping and we were sorry. Don't you think you should be happy now he came? But the word of God is saying, if you're really, really angry for your brother for no reason, you are going to be punished. Let's go to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Please read.
He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes.
See what he's trying to say. If you hate your brother, you become spiritually blind. And you going in the blindness. That means a blind people will go in a wrong places, and he can get hurt. Might be killed. The blind man who goes to the highway and the cars and trucks are coming, he has very less chance to be survived. If the person who loves his brother, he lives in light. That means he has the light from God. He knows right and wrong. But if you start hating your brother without a cause, Matthew 5. Then
but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Can you imagine? If you say to your brother angrily, you fool, or you're dumb, or you're a bad person, you are ready for hellfire. If you read from up to 24, we don't have time. He says, You coming to the church and you thinking something about bad about your brother, I don't want you here. Get out of the church. Go to your brother, ask forgiveness, and then come back. So the what God wants, not your sacrifice, your heart. Change of heart. That's what God wants. So his father goes and tells him, son, everything is mine, is yours. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 15, 29. Chapter 15, verse 29. And we read before that, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Okay, go ahead.
And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.
Now see what he's saying? This man was not with his brother when he was in other place. He said he spent his money with a harlot. Just think, if he spent his money with a harlot, he might have a disease and he might be dead. I'm not pampering him, but you cannot accuse somebody without knowing. He was not with a prostitute. He might be spend his money with his friend, and he lost the money. And even though he was with a harlot, he came back with a repentance. But he said, I'm a better than him. And why you took this boy back? He was with a harlot. He spent his money. And now he's taking him back, and you even killed a fatted calf. You did not give me any little bit kid. And so he is so angry, he does not want to go in. See what the father says, verse 31.
And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Now he says, son, why are you so angry? Whatever is mine is yours. My son, your brother, was dead. He's alive now. He was lost, he's found. It's a good occasion. We should be happy. We should be joyful. Don't be angry, my son. In Japanese language, they had a little bit drama that... They bought the son, and mother and father happy together. And so, point I'm making, Jesus Christ gave three examples for the one simple reason. What the reason is? If somebody's in sin, try to bring that sinner to Christ. And that will be joy in heaven and joy before the angels, and we should be rejoicing. Book of Luke, chapter 16, we are going to start from verse 1.
And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed.
Okay, now here we see Jesus Christ giving the story or parables about the rich man. Last week, if you remember, he gave several parables. And the last parables we saw the prodigal son. Now here also we learn about the money management. Now, this is a rich man, his name is not given. He has the steward, means a manager, keeping charge of his money. And now, this man, means the rich man, got the news from somebody. And the news was like this, your steward, your manager, is not doing proper job. He is stealing your goods, he is doing something wrong. This kind of rumors, your enemy can bring. Even though you might be doing a good job, but somebody, they want to take your job, so they go to your boss and complain about you. So the boss's job is to check thoroughly before they can fire somebody. Don't listen to somebody and just make a decision. You have to think, if this man or this person is working with me for this many years and my business is doing okay, then I want to find out who is complaining. And secretly, he should be checking his account before he could talk to his stewards. The rich man, he comes and tells this man, I heard some rumor or complaints about you. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your job away from you. And so I want all the account straightened out. Now this manager looks like not a bodybuilder. He might be skinny and very weak person because he's always working with money and he never worked hard work in the field. So from his talk, I believe this man was honest before his master accused him. Why? Because if he was doing something wrong and cheating the money, he would not have any problem. He says, I cannot dig, means I cannot do hard work. And he said, not only that, I cannot even beg. I'm ashamed to beg because I was an officer. From this I gathered this man was not having secret account or stealing the Lord's money, his master's money. He was almost honest up to this time. He was a good man. But sometime when you accuse people, and the worldly people, when keep on accusing, they said, if they accuse me, I didn't do something, so I'm going to do wrong anyhow because they are accusing me, I didn't do anything. But this person is weak. He never did hard work. And he never begged to somebody money. He started thinking. He said, what I'm going to do, if I lose this job, somebody should take me in their house. He may not have a good house either. Maybe living in an apartment. So he says, I'm going to do something good to my master's clients. And so they will like what I'm going to do. And they might keep me in their house. So see what he got the idea. Luke chapter 16 verse 4.
I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord?
He called every one of the Lord's clients. Here give only two examples in this chapter. He didn't have only two debtors. He might have many, hundreds or thousands. From these scriptures, sound like this man was very rich because Jesus started with the rich man. You can see several kinds of businesses he's doing. And so now he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to call everyone and reduce their debts.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.